Yeah, hour number two on a Tuesday. Thanks for joining us as always. You are much appreciated. Trade today for the Kings. You just heard Simone update us on that. The Kings traded with the Brooklyn Nets. And no, it was not for Kevin Durant. KD is not on his way to Sacramento, unfortunately for all of us.
KE is, though.
By the way.
Yes, sir.
We might eventually get to this at some point, but I heard Deuce and Moe, Watkins and Cardicelli as I was driving in.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll just address this right now. I almost drove off the road.
Are you going to cause more locker room controversy?
I could.
More locker room tension?
I just can't help myself.
Sports.
When I hear
team?
Something that almost causes me to drive off the road, I feel like I need to bring it up.
Why are you always trying to like start beef with people? Same team, man. We're all
not
on the
true.
Same team here.
I've never tried to start beef with Simone.
I thought you were going to physically fight Frankie Cardicelli while we were transitioning from the Deuce and Mo show to our show.
Me and Verlata, we're good. We're like this. Son. We're like this.
I had to stand between you and Cardicelli. I felt like I needed to just be physically between you two before anything went down.
I was listening to Deuce and Mo today.
Yes.
And I heard them fix their lips
uh-huh.
to say that Fox and Sabonis would be untouchable for in a trade for Kevin Durant.
No.
Yeah.
That's that. They did,
and yeah. I think everybody in the room agreed. I think all four of them agreed with this. That they would not trade
all
Fox or Sabonis for Kevin Durant.
This was the consensus? This was unanimous?
I feel like it was. That's
really?
That's where I almost drove off the road because I felt like somebody in the room should have been like,
dude,
what?
I talked about this in the offseason when Kevin Durant put in the trade request, and there were teams that wouldn't make the trade because of like players where I was like, what? That's who you want to hang on to not get Kevin Durant, to not get a guy who's always in the MVP conversation. Every year, year in, year out, when he's healthy.
Yeah.
You're talking about a guy who could be the NBA MVP.
Yes. Do you know how much he would change the dynamic of Sacramento forever? Or at least for the next decade? If Kevin Durant was like, yeah, I'll go to Sacramento. You know how much that would change this organization? Like, we think it's great right now at 30 wins in early February. If you had somebody like Durant walk through that door and embrace the Kings organization, do you know what that would do? Like, look, I love De'Aaron Fox, and congratulations on the baby time. I congratulate the young man and his beautiful wife on the baby time.
Okay.
And his beautiful wife and young Rain. I love the name, Rain.
I absolutely love
the name. And Domas has been really good this year. Thank Kevin Durant. Thank Kevin Durant at 35. Kevin Durant's a top five player in the game when he's out there.
Yes.
Like, I just, I couldn't believe it. Verlad, would you like to defend anything?
Oh,
agree with us?
I think he said the key word there, when he's in there. I mean.
Got to take the risk, man.
That hasn't been as.
Got to take the risk.
Well known.
If your name isn't Giannis or LeBron, I'm willing to trade you for Kevin Durant.
But are you trading both? Are you trading both?
If your name is.
No, it's not. Both. Both is a different conversation. Because that doesn't get you
no,
anywhere.
No, not both.
But
no.
If the phone rings, I'm not picking it up and going, you want Fox for KD?
Goodbye.
Who else are you throwing in there? How many picks are you giving up?
But we can talk. Like, the conversation doesn't stop when they bring up Domas or De'Aaron Fox. Like, I'm not saying that there's no price I would pay. But, again, if your name ain't Giannis or LeBron, I'm not hanging up the phone when you call and ask me about a trade with Kevin Durant.
My immediate reaction would not be those guys are untouchable. Everybody is on the table. On this team, everyone's on the table if we're talking Kevin Durant. And then we'll go from there. If you ask for five first-round picks and Keegan Murray and a whole, then that's another conversation.
Yeah.
But I would just like to make the point. Here on Sactown Sports, as a brand, we are not universally against the idea of putting Fox or Domas on the table for Kevin Durant.
No.
That would be the midday show.
I will pick up Kevin Durant from the airport.
Rami will pay for his personal jet.
If that would help, I'll pick him up from the
meanwhile,
airport.
Meanwhile, Durant's not walking through the door, but Kessler Edwards is. And Edwards, he's 22 years old. He's a 3-and-D prospect, 6'8", about a 7-foot wingspan. No risk kind of move. I don't think this is anything more than trying to address the edges of this roster, the margin, so to speak. I would imagine he's an upgrade over KZ Akpala. So that is the move. The Kings did not give up anything. They gave up, absolutely zilch. It was the trade exception they picked up in the Marvin Bagley trade. So you gave up nothing to improve your bench, even if it's just by a skosh. Mm-hmm. You improved it and you move forward. Meanwhile, Rami, Malik Monk. Now, I want to be careful when I say this. Malik Monk is tremendously important to this team. I enjoy Monk. I do. I enjoy him.
Mm-hmm.
But man, my emotions when I watch him, it's too much of a roller coaster.
What do you mean? It's pure joy for me.
In the fourth quarter last night, I'm sitting there watching Malik, and I said to myself, he is legitimately one of the most fun players to watch when he's got it going.
Yeah.
The key phrase is when he's got it going. Like when he's cooking and he's making threes and he's, you know, he has, I think it was last night I tweeted or it was Sunday night, he leads the league in almost spectacular dunks. Like he has like five dunks, almost dunks this year that you go, man, that would have been incredible. He's had two on this trip, but he hasn't been able to actually finish them. But he is a lot of fun to watch. But when he tries to do too much, or he's, you know, coloring outside the line, so to speak, it's rough for me to watch him because it's like almost like the Malik Monk show. And when those shots aren't falling and he's turning the ball over, it's just the roller coaster of emotion watching that. I go from the highest of highs to when he's not making shots and you know, trying to do a little bit too much out there to the almost the lowest of lows. I wish that there was a little bit more consistency from him, but that's, you know, that's a sixth man. That's why I'm not killing him. I like him. I think he's a great piece to the team. It's just the ups and downs watching, even like within a game. Like he'll have a quarter where I go, that was dreadful. And then the next three quarters, a guy, you're sitting there cheering going, oh my God, this guy's like having an out of body experience.
I get the frustration, but the same thing that makes him as good as he is the same thing that you're talking about that causes the frustration,
that is fair.
Nick, which
that
is that
fair.
He's a very creative basketball player.
Yes.
You know what I mean? He can't necessarily be tied down or bound to some kind of system or some kind of play call the whole time that he's out there.
Malik's got a Malik.
Not only is Malik gonna Malik, Malik's got a Malik. And so I've watched Malik Monk at times this year, and when he's struggling and some of the plays that he makes when he's coloring outside the lines, as you've said, and I throw my hands up in the air and I go, oh God, what are you? But then I check myself and I remember, like, okay, but like that same thing might work in a month. You know what I mean? Like that same thing just worked last week or 10 days ago. Like the same thing that makes him frustrating, Malik, is the same thing that makes him really, really good for you and your number one guy off the bench.
You've got to kind of just steady with the up and down. You got to be like, all right, that was, you know, we saw the not so good Malik there. Let's hope for the great Malik next quarter.
Right.
And then you see, by the way, Sean Cunningham will join us in less than 5 minutes. So Sean will be with us in less than five. But when you watch, you know, you watch him, I just kind of had that, I don't want to call it an epiphany because I'm sure a lot of Kings fans have gone through that this year with Malik. But when I was watching the fourth quarter last night, I was like, man, when this guy gets going, and I've watched the best of the best. I'm not sitting here telling you he's, you know, one of the best players in the league when he gets a go, but he's one of the most fun to watch because he's not huge, right? Like when you see a guard with his electricity, with his vertical, with his ability kind of attack and when he gets going from three-point land and you feel like this guy is not going to miss for the next 15 days, it is a joy to watch. And it's a joy to watch because, and this is a credit to Malik, and this is why when I say love-hate relationship, there is much more love coming from me than hate.
Yeah.
It's his genuine joy to play the game when he's on the floor. So it's not only when he's got it cooking and he's playing great and everything is working like he had in that fourth quarter. It's just also the genuine joy and vibe that he brings, the energy that he brings. I just think he is the kind of guy that can, you know, lift all boats, so to speak, and give you that juice, the confidence, the swag. And again, I'm a fan of the guy, but dealing with some of the ups and downs, even inside of games, can drive you a little bit crazy.
I don't know if anybody has more fun playing basketball than Malik Monk, though. In the fourth quarter last, he was drawing with his teammates. I got the sense he was calling shots before he'd go down to the other side of the court and then come down and be like, "Didn't I tell you? Didn't I tell you I was going to do that?"
Malik Monk, you know, pickup game wise, must be a nightmare for people to deal with.
Yes.
Like you know when people say like, oh, you know, Malik's really good and he's a really good sixth man, and we always talk about professional athletes being so much better than most of the people that you've ever seen in person.
Yes.
Like you could take the best player in your high school, the best player at your college, and they won't even scrape the surface of most. Now, maybe you went to LeBron's high school and watched him play. there are things that can be brought up, right? But like if Malik Monk walked onto like a college basketball floor and just wanted Monk time, I mean, he would be the most astounding thing you've seen at the college level. Like, he would be and so he has to be a nightmare when he's just playing for fun and he's got it going, because he also just those gums flap. He must be just tough.
I grew up in the suburbs of Chicago, Nick, and I'm about to say a name that nobody probably knows, and you shouldn't, okay? But there was a guy who played on the Chicago Bulls by the name of Dickie Simpkins.
I know him because he went to Providence College. Like, I know him well.
He was like their 10th or 11th guy off the bench. But
you see, baby.
He'd show up at the local health club, and he was Michael Jordan out there.
Yeah. I don't know how many people saw this video.
And he was letting you know about it, too.
Like Google this video. Try to find it on YouTube. Montrezl Harrell this summer went to like a YMCA or something, and he's playing in like jeans, and he's just dribbling down the floor, cooking guys with the dribble, pulling up from like 25 feet and knocking down three after three after three. Montrezl Harrell, who is not a good offensive player at the NBA level, he was beating these dudes senseless on the floor.
It's ridiculous.
It is. The talent level is crazy. And I think, you know, we take it for granted because we see it. We watch it on a nightly basis, but these guys are special humans when it comes to athleticism and what they can do. They truly are. I mean, they're incredible. And that's why when you talk about somebody like LeBron and some of the best, just bananas. Sean Cunningham coming up in 90 seconds.
Cattles.
And Rami.
Sactown Sports.
Rami, what you told me off the air, hold on to that.
All right.
Because we have to discuss that a little bit
later.
But right now, we got bigger fish to fry, as they say. Our friend Sean Cunningham of Fox 40 joining us on the Folsom Lake Honda Hotline. Folsom Lake Honda, your one-stop Honda shop. Sean, as always, we appreciate you and your time, my friend. The trade for Kessler Edwards, just your quick thoughts. We know this isn't a landscape-changing move, but your reaction to the deal.
Good. Hey, guys. Good to be with you, man. Kessler Edwards is just a guy who kind of fits that little mold in what they look for lately. Every team, really. Just a guy with size who's athletic and obviously very, very young, 22 years old, and comes over looking for possibility of opportunity, really. I mean, a former second-round pick and California guy, so change of scenery would be good. I know his agent, Bill Duffy, very well, and he's always in the building at Golden One Center. So, I mean, this is a thing that could possibly be a change of scenery. Obviously, it's going to have some opportunity in the G League. It's also, you know, I wouldn't be doing my job if I didn't point out that this move is not yet done. It's very close is what my reporting is on it. And, hopefully something that can work out. I mean, I know the team would have a team option if he sticks around past Thursday for next year at about $1.9 million, and could be some intriguing possibility there. But certainly, as you mentioned, Nick, is not something that's going to set the world on fire, be a landscape move for the Sacramento Kings.
You obviously know this organization, this team, the sport, as well as anybody that we talk to on a regular basis. Sean, was there any path, any script, any way in your mind when this season started that you would have thought they'd be at 30 wins by February 7th?
No, not at all. And to that point, we talked before the season started, and right as it was getting going, I didn't think they'd be as high as third in the West at any point. Not just like trickling in there for a game or two early in the season. I'm talking about having a rather strong chokehold on the third seed in the Western Conference for greater part of a month or so now. So, no, that part is very surprising to me, and kudos to what they've been able to do and Mike Brown and all the attention to detail that they've had. And and really put out a basketball product that, you know, despite some deficiencies on defense, and you see some very small incremental improvements along the way on the defensive end, and at times it can look really, really bad. But guys, this team, as we know, they play a very exciting brand of basketball, a very fast, efficient ball sharing offense, and to see them actually do that this year after years and years of hero basketball and dribbling the basketball to death, it's certainly uplifting for not only myself and the media who has to cover this team so often, but for these fans for sure.
Sean Cunningham with the Sierra Cattles and Rami Sacktown Sports. Keegan had a tough night on Sunday night. Sean, then he responds last night with a career high 30. Can Keegan grow into this team's number three option by the end of this season, or is that asking too much too soon?
I would probably side with the too much too soon. I mean, certainly you don't need him to. It'd be nice if he did. I think the way I look at Keegan Murray, and I might be in the minority here, but certainly, you know, what Harrison Barnes has meant to this team, especially this year, has been huge. I think he's produced numbers and played a role that has been so much more important than what they probably needed. And he's taken over a role in a way to really kind of hope to pass the reins on to Keegan Murray. And whether or not Harrison Barnes is here beyond this summer, beyond this season, remains to be seen. But if he doesn't, if he goes away and goes to a different situation, it should be poised very well to hand those reins off to Keegan Murray and let him really just kind of flourish with this Kings offense next year. So I feel like no matter if Harrison Barnes is a part of this team or not, Keegan Murray will step into that role and really kind of flourish in this type of system, especially along the guy like Domantas Sabonis, who is always calling out for him where to be, and he's learning from him, and he's such a ball share, just such a playmaker for him to really kind of succeed and to see him do what he's doing beyond the arc. I mean, you're talking about the guy who's going to finish the season probably. I mean, if everything goes well, he could finish with the best numbers from 3-point line from a rookie ever. And I just think that's really incredible.
We're less than 48 hours away from the NBA trade deadline. How active do you think the Kings are right now in working the phones? And where do you see the greatest need for this Kings team to make that final playoff push?
Yeah, I think they're going to be really aggressive. I mean, this front office has shown the ability to do that, shown the want to do that. They've addressed needs in the past, and you've seen multiple moves almost at every step along the way with at the trade deadline with this team. So I think they've identified moves that they'd like to make. My whole thing is I think that they have pieces that aren't that attractive for the moves that they want to make. It's almost like you're car shopping, and you're out there going, boy, I really like that car. I may not have the means to get it. And then the ones that I do have, it's like, well, what if I just wait a year? What if I just kind of rest and hold on to my laurels here and see what I can do? I think that's a big part of the calculus. And certainly there are a bunch of names that tend to circulate and get rumored and bantied about. And you asked me what I think is their biggest need. And I think my opinion probably varies from even what that front office would think would be their biggest area of need. I think, honestly, I'm always looking beyond just holding on to a playoff berth. I'm always looking to try to totally, you know, revamp this team and to change the DNA of the team and swing for the fences again. And I think what they need is a bona fide starting three, a 3-and-D type player. I just don't know that they can go out and get it. I don't think you can go out and get someone like Pascal Siakam, someone like an OG Anunoby, or even smaller than that, like a Josh Hart. So, you know, those are the types of moves I'd love to see them make. I think what they're going to look at is prioritizing a big man, a rim protector that can probably be there alongside Domantas Sabonis, but I don't think they're going to limit themselves that way. I think if they can find an upgraded position at the third guard, if they can find themselves even a poor man that can just get them to the end of the season, a la Josh Richardson just to throw a name out there. And then obviously all these moves are addressing defense to greater need, because that's obviously what they need. And Mike Brown won't be able to sleep until he adds something like that. So my whole concern is, can they add that player but also be a rotational player? And you look at someone like Matisse Thybulle, who's probably a name who's been the loudest out there of recent weeks, and certainly he's an elite defender, but everything else is rather is a little disappointing and has actually regressed since his days at coming from Washington in that first year in the league of Philly. So I question how much you'll actually get rid of. I think if you can move an expiring pick, or excuse me, an expiring piece that is already on your team that doesn't equate into your rotation, and you can bring in somebody like that, I think that's great. But I think when you start talking about moving multiple second-round picks to get a person here who might only be here for 20, 25 games, depending on how long your playoff run goes, then I have a little bit more concern there. So certainly I think they'll try to swing for the fence. I don't know that they can do it, but they're looking to hopefully change the DNA of this team.
Sean, we appreciate the time as always, man. Hopefully we have some big news here over the next couple of days, and we'll catch up with you soon.
Appreciate you guys. Have fun.
You too. Thanks. Sean Cunningham from Fox 40 on the Folsom Lake Honda Hotline. Folsom Lake Honda,
your one-stop Honda shop.
And, you know, when you're looking at swinging for the fences, you're much better this time than
last
time. Swinging for the fences, I think, would be fascinating because it's something we've had conversations about, Rami, this idea of how much are you willing to give to get and how much of this, secret sauce recipe you've put together for this season are you willing to touch or change?
Right.
And are you willing to ship out Harrison Barnes, for example, if you think it's going to upgrade your team? Maybe not even in the short term, but in the long term. That's what Monty's looking at. You know, winning 30 games is fantastic, but it also makes Monty's job tougher because I think there's a lot of fans out there that are happy where this team is. They don't want to mess with too much. But it's the GM's job to figure out what do we have to do to find that next level. It ain't Monty's job or his goal to win 30 games by early February.
Right.
His job is to win playoff games. So it'll be fascinating to watch. You know, I know Sean's a pretty plugged in guy, and he just told you that he thinks the team's going to be pretty aggressive.
He said they're looking to change the DNA of this team.
It's music to my ears. Aggressive.
That's a Sean Cunningham quote.
Looking to swing for the fences. We've got some breaking news in the NBA for you coming up next. It is 3:31 on this Tuesday. Time check brought to you by Coastside Medical Clinic, dedicated to providing breakthrough remedies for men. Couple of quick NBA notes, Rami, for you.
Mm-hmm.
First, Zion Williamson. He is expected to sit out through the All-Star break. That's according to Coach Willie Green.
That makes sense.
So Zion is likely out through the All-Star break, which means now there are two spots in the Western Conference due to injury that have opened up. You get Steph Curry and Zion.
De'Aaron Fox.
If he doesn't
make it. Boycott if they don't make it.
It's not in the All-Star game.
I think we should all boycott it, Malik.
Yes.
It's a Travis Sham mockery if he doesn't make it.
100% Travis Sham mockery.
So I think we're ready for Fox to be an All-Star. We were ready for Fox to be an All-Star like two, three, four weeks ago.
He should have been one of the reserves named in the first place, but that didn't happen.
It doesn't happen.
That would be crazy.
It's a travesty.
Yes. Or, as you said.
Travis Sham mockery. So we'll see. We'll see if De'Aaron makes it. He best make it. We all feel like he should be on that team. Also, let's talk KD.
Although maybe he should just sleep. He's got a newborn. Just get whatever sleep you can during the All-Star break. Just take it easy, man. You need to travel to Utah, play basketball.
Could you imagine all of that? Could you imagine all the time we spent like, Fox should be an All-Star, Fox should. And then he gets to be an All-Star, and he's like, you know what? I'm just going to hang at home.
I just want to sleep, man.
Just going to be with the kid.
I just want to close my eyes.
That would be a stud move, though, if he turned around and was like, thanks, but no thanks, NBA.
I would appreciate it.
KD. Adrian Wojnarowski tweets out, with 8 days until the All-Star break starting for the Nets, Kevin Durant isn't expected to return to the team's lineup until post-break. Jacques Vaughn told reporters that there's still no timetable for a return. He says KD got a, quote, really good report, unquote, in his checkup with the doctor, but he still hasn't been cleared for contact. His return date remains unclear. So KD going to be out for a little while longer. Any conspiracy theory here you want to cook up?
Like they're not playing him just in case they want to trade him before the deadline?
I think that's happening with Kyle Lowry, by the way. You see Kyle Lowry has, quote-unquote, knee soreness, and he's going to be out for the next 3 games?
I did not see that, no.
I think Miami's sitting Lowry because they want to get rid of him.
No, I might think that if KD was healthy until the Kyrie Irving trade request came through, and then all of a sudden he had, like, an achy knee. You know what I mean? But he's been out for a while, so no, I don't think there's anything
there. But you could extend it.
You could extend it.
I mean, he
That's
could
true.
Be ready.
I'm not saying KD isn't trying to get out of Brooklyn right now. I'd bet that Brooklyn is holding the same line they held when he put his trade request in earlier, which is, look, unless the right price comes through, we have you under contract for the next 3 years, and there are no real outs for you. So we're just gonna hold pat.
We'll get back to basketball in a little bit. But first, I did want to talk about Derek Carr for a few minutes here, because February 15th, a week from tomorrow, is the deadline for Carr. Now, the Raiders either have to trade him or release him, or his contract becomes fully guaranteed as of next Wednesday. So the clock is a ticking. And last week, as you know, everybody was going through their Pro Bowl stuff, and Carr made the Pro Bowl, even though he was benched at the end of the year. He made the Pro Bowl. So did Tyler Huntley, which is a whole other story.
The Pro Bowl is very meaningful.
But Carr last week had jokes at Ryan Clark of ESPN.
You've thrown touchdown passes in Vegas before. You've been on fire. Have you ever been that hot in Las Vegas?
Not that hot. That's probably why I'm going somewhere else.
Hey, yo.
Bro, well, if this was your last outing in Las Vegas, they are definitely going to miss you.
Well played. Well played. Not too bad of a job by RC, by the way, to kind of tap dance to something else.
Quick. A lot of people were taking that as a shot at the Raiders or at Las Vegas. That was self-deprecating.
Yeah.
That was him saying, I haven't been good enough, or they wouldn't be willing to let me go.
Yeah. He was like, if I were that great here in Vegas, then we would not be talking about me leaving.
That
Vegas.
Was a shot at Derek Carr.
Carr talked about, you know, moving on and this idea of, you know, the timing is right for him this time around. It's everything I read, Rami, and watch and listen. It is clear to me that Carr is not playing ball with the Raiders.
No.
He is not willing to restructure his contract in any way. There was a report last week that he had not been given permission yet to talk trade with other teams. Then Schefter came out later on and said he had been given permission. But Derek Carr is drawing the line. He's like, look, if anybody wants me, I have the no trade clause. I'm going to say yes or no to anything you bring to my attention. And I'm not willing to restructure my deal to have a team friendly contract. My man has all the leverage in the world and he is using it right now.
He should. He 100% should. If I'm Derek Carr, I want to choose where I'm going to go and I want to squeeze every dollar out of the situation that I possibly can. And I don't know, the Raiders, a damn thing, especially the way that this thing ended and unceremoniously showing me the door and benching me two games before I could have ridden out my tenure as a Raider after a long and pretty successful or at least decent run here. I'm not trying to help the Raiders. If I'm Derek Carr, I have no incentive to help the Raiders or anybody else.
And here's the bad news.
And if I start playing ball with the Raiders right now, there might be a team out there that in a place I'd rather play that would have interest in me but just doesn't want to make a trade, would rather just sign me in free agency. I'm trying to find the best landing spot possible for Derek Carr if I'm Derek Carr and Raiders be damned.
100%. If I'm Carr, I'm doing the same thing. I'm using the leverage I have via my contract that I agreed to.
All of it.
He did not get long-term security with that contract last offseason. So, hey, man, you can't have it both ways if you're the Raiders. You can't have a firm grasp on me as a player and employee for you and then expect me to just bend over backwards to make life easy on you so you could trade me out of town. And here's the really bad news for the Raiders. Teams are now willing to wait. I've read multiple reports saying that teams, they're looking at Derek Carr. They're saying, well, the trade's not going to get done. So why am I going to rush to give up assets? I can just wait this thing out because it certainly seems like Carr is going to end up being a free agent. And if that is the case, then I could bid on Carr without giving up any assets. And if the Raiders lose Carr without getting anything back in return, we talked about how much pressure is on this organization to get this right because, yeah, Derek Carr is not a top 10 quarterback, but he's a good quarterback. And if you're going to wave goodbye to him, you better have an upgrade. You better, you know, improve at the position. I think they might have thought they had Brady in the back pocket. Brady now retires. You better upgrade because now you're waving goodbye to Carr and you're likely not to get any assets for it. And that's going to be a major blemish if the Raiders don't bring somebody in that gets the fan base excited or at least produces.
I would guess at this point that it's that they're going to get nothing for Derek Carr, and he's going to hit free agency in just over a week. Well, they'll have to release him, and he'll hit free agency in just over a week. I don't see this situation turning any better for the Raiders between now and the 15th. So they kind of put themselves in this situation, man. And I've talked about a game of musical chairs at the quarterback position, and maybe at the end of it, a quarterback standing there without a team to play for or a starting job to be had. There might be a game of musical chairs when it comes to quarterbacks. There might be a team standing there empty-handed, Nick, and having to go with Jarrett Stidham at quarterback or somebody of that ilk. The Raiders might have put themselves in the corner with the way that they handled the Derek Carr situation.
Well, this was just tweeted out by Ian Rappaport to add another layer to this. Maybe a trade is going to happen. Rappaport just tweeted, the Saints invited Carr for a visit, and the Raiders have granted permission for that to happen.
Okay.
It's a game of chess, not checkers.
So okay. Plan.
I'm playing checkers over here.
The plan is for a visit tomorrow. Carr, who has a no-trade clause, is doing due diligence. No trade is imminent, Rappaport says. But Carr is going to take a visit to New Orleans. I've been to New Orleans several times. It's a great place to visit.
I've not.
Vegas or the boot? Your choice, Vegas or the boot, New Orleans.
I've only been to Vegas once. I would lean New Orleans because of the music, and I'm a big music guy. So I'd go New Orleans.
Like that Zydeco?
The
Zydeco music?
I don't know what that means.
It's like the band music that you hear a lot with New Orleans.
Oh, that's big band music? I never
it's
heard
that. It's called
Zydeco
music.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Like I'm a big band, big jazz guy, all that kind of stuff.
I've never been to either, but I just want good food, so I'm guessing I'd
pick
New Orleans.
Have you been to Nashville?
Stopped in Nashville for a night.
That's right.
Yeah.
I remember you telling me that.
Yeah. Nashville is too much country music.
New Orleans is great, but there is a distinct smell on Bourbon Street, and you don't want to hang out there for more than like 2 days, 3 days on Bourbon. There's other things to do. There's other places to go than just Bourbon
Street. Can you say what that smell
is? Harris right around
on these
corner.
Airwaves or no? No?
Bodily fluids and
yeah.
You know?
Good to know.
Upset stomachs?
Good to know. I think I'll avoid it, though.
But it's like late at night, like late, when everybody clears out is when you pick it up. So if you're hanging out to like, you know, if you tend to be a little bit of a night owl like me.
Sure.
And you're walking around like 3 a.m. on Bourbon Street,
you might pick it up a little
like
bit
like your
more.
Style, Nick. Me and you both would be prancing the streets.
All right. Yeah, that's how it is. We got a lot more coming up next.
Cattles and Rami.
Sacktown Sports.
Just like to say this. You are doing a terrible job promoting the YouTube page.
I am?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
You don't do anything to drive the likes.
Get over to youtube.com/Sacktown Sports. Click on that like button.
Don't look at the camera like you're a crazy person. Why are your eyes so wide?
And get your Twitter game up and your Instagram game and your TikTok.
And your TikTok? Is that key? I got a bone to pick with you.
With me?
Yeah.
With me?
Yes.
Why are you just walking around picking bones with people today, dude?
Picking them bones, baby.
What is with you today?
What do you do for a living, Nick? I pick bones.
Yeah, you're just picking every bone around this place.
I'm damn good at it, too.
Picking them clean.
Picking them bones. You have complained multiple times to me about the Beam.
Yes.
Saying that it's ruined.
It's a spoiler, man.
It's ruined the suspense that you've had for certain Kings games.
Sometimes I can't watch a Kings game live.
That's a you problem.
I want to watch it later.
It's a you problem.
Yesterday, we got off early, 3:30, went home. We were gone most of the weekend. Girlfriend was like, we got to go grocery shopping. We have no food in this place. I was like, all right, let's go grocery shopping. Came back. Kings game was starting right around the time that we got back. Or actually, no, it already started. I went up to the rooftop.
How long did you go food shopping?
To grill a little
for?
Bit of dinner.
You got home at 3:45.
I got.
You didn't get home until like 5.
We didn't leave right away. We didn't leave as soon as I walked in the door.
So you go food shopping for 90 minutes?
Yeah, roundabouts. Take my time. I'm not rushing through the store. What is this?
Can I just give you a bit of advice?
Guys, grocery games? I got to run around and throw stuff.
Supermarket sweep?
What are we doing?
It should be supermarket sweep. That's how I shop. You haven't seen me shop.
So I go up to the rooftop.
I run through them aisles like my tuchus is on fire.
I was going to make dinner and then sit down.
Parmesan cheese. Got it. Grab it. I'm just swiping things off the shelf. Kelly's like, we don't need 10 of them. Don't care. Got to move forward. Keep it moving.
That's how you end up forgetting stuff. But anyways, I got home.
This isn't a wedding. I'm not at the grocery store to have a good time and spend an hour and a half, two hours.
I love grocery shopping.
Oh, I could. I know. You're probably the guy that looks at the back of labels and everything. And
You know what
you're
I love?
You're bragging to Emily, I can make this meal.
No, you know what I love? I get an unreasonable amount of excitement out of finding a new snack.
You said on the phone. We got to tell people what you said. You said on the phone today.
Yes.
You said that 5,500 calories a day is like your, what did you say?
That's my dream.
Your dream.
Yeah. Who was I talking about? There's an offensive lineman.
Lane Johnson
for the Eagles, who's on a 5,500 calorie a day diet. It sounds amazing.
Yeah, to me that sounds like death.
Oh.
Like I'd be stuck to the couch for the rest of my life.
I mean,
just eating off my belly.
If you're not moving, but that's the whole thing, is that it's all part of a bigger plan.
He's a pro athlete.
It's all part of a formula.
Yeah, you're not going to be a pro athlete.
Well, no.
I hate to break it to you.
That's why I can't eat 5,500 calories.
You're in your 40s now, buddy.
I'm not going to put in that kind of work.
The NFL has passed you by, my friend.
What? No.
Your best athletic endeavor is going shopping, apparently.
I thought this was just holding me over. I thought this radio thing was just a holdover till the NFL called.
Damn it. Might be waiting a while.
Damn. But yeah, I went up to the rooftop to grill up some zucchinis and some potatoes for dinner, and a big purple spoiler in the sky.
But it's not a spoiler. Like, you know. When you go outside, you know that there's a chance that the beam might be lit.
I mean, who's thinking of that?
Me.
When they step outside?
Me, Simone, JJ, probably.
Simone, JJ, you'd think of that? You'd be like, I got to close my eyes before I step out of the door.
Hold on, that's not even the question.
What do you mean?
Simone and JJ, would you think of that when you've been burnt already by the beam?
Yeah, this is the third time.
Right.
This is the third time.
Unbelievable.
That's true.
You're not learning from those mistakes.
My bad.
Man, I could see you like at Rayleigh's, like all in.
What's all in Rami look like at Rayleigh's?
I just like that he says he has to go to Trader Joe's for the whatever stuff, and then you have to go to the real store
for the stuff you actually need. Go to the grocery
it's
store
so
for
true.
It. Yeah, that's absolutely spin. True.
Rami's like, listen, honey. Emily's like, hey, what are we going to do on Saturday? Clear the schedule.
Dude.
Why? What are we doing? We're going to Rayleigh's.
Have you ever...
The whole day? Yep.
Have you ever found a new flavor of Doritos?
No, Rami. I've never looked for a new flavor of Doritos. You know how many Doritos I've eaten in the last two years?
How many?
Not many.
That's crazy.
Less than a quarter of
You're
a bag.
You're not living life, man. That's a you problem, not a me problem.
No, I'm living life.
I also like to go through the meat section and find the good
You're the
deals.
Guy that goes out for 2 hours at a time and then has to go home. I'm living life. Our definition of living life is much different.
I can stay out late. Just not that night. Not that night.
I think it's been 3 or 4 times.
And it was also 400 degrees when you had us all hanging out in your backyard.
We had JJ. So. Okay. Listen, let's wipe out that one. Okay. How about the other 3 times?
Okay. 2 times. Two times.
It gets to be 90 minutes. You start getting the itch. You start looking around. You look for your exit strategy.
If I have to drive,
out with
yes.
JJ and Chris. We were all out. Me, JJ, Chris, and you.
If I have to drive,
and I felt it. You were sitting behind me. I felt it. You're like looking around.
You felt the energy, man. I missed the energy. I didn't feel it.
I felt like I got to go energy from
I was
Rami.
Enjoying myself, so I didn't see it.
Well, all 3 of us were. Somebody.
I didn't think we were hanging out that late. Did you guys hang out
Listen,
late that
man,
night?
What's late, man? I was like 9:30.
I don't put any limits to my if I'm out, I'm out.
You just watched the Kings game, like post-Kings game.
Yeah,
what is that, 9:30?
I thought that was the point of the gathering.
When you going home, Nick, TBD.
I thought we were getting together, watch the Kings game. Kings game got over. I was like, all right, time to go.
You know when I go home and I stop having a good time?
Yeah.
If the good time's still cranking, I ain't leaving.
Same.
So you got a good word.
So you said the good time's over on that night, huh? JJ, me, and Chris couldn't entertain you long enough? See how it is. JJ even wore a sweet sweatsuit that night.
That you haven't still given me a size, so I'm waiting on you.
That's a sharp sweatsuit.
In color. I got to send you the mock-ups.
Yes. You left.
Sorry.
You left us.
All right.
And then Kelly and I were out for a good night. You left us again.
Let's have a...
Really? He double dipped on you?
Yes. We had a kind of... It wasn't a double date situation.
No, double dip.
No, I know, but I don't want to make it sound like it was like a weird double date thing. We were hanging out, and Rami and Emily came by. We were hanging out. Band was playing. We were having some beverages. I was having a good time. Kelly was conversating with another female, which she doesn't get a lot of opportunity to do because mm-hmm. she works remote at home. And all of a sudden, Rami's like, "We gotta go."
I didn't Scrooge McDuck.
I said we gotta go.
And as a matter of fact, I said, "We're all hungry. We could go to a place closer to your house, Rami." And he still was like, "Nope, gonna go home and hang in the living room." I was like, "All right."
I don't remember it going down exactly that way.
I do.
Okay.
And I remember Emily the next day saying, "Do you think we left early?" Because your girl knew.
All right. Next time, that's it. That's it. Next
what,
time.
What, Rami, I've heard all you night. You told us a story right about when night. The Bucks won a championship.
Yeah.
And loose as a goose. I mean, yeah. What is your deadline? What's your cutoff on a normal day? What time do you go to bed?
Oh, I go to bed. I'm not an early to bed type of guy. I'm up till at least midnight every night, pretty much.
He's just antisocial.
Yes.
With people that he knows. I've met antisocial people when it's like a big crowd. They're like, "Yeah, not." Rami's like, he get like people that he knows and works with. Right. I sat down and was like, "Nah, I ain't having it."
I wasn't under the impression on any of these occasions. Under the impression that this was like a all night, like all out, let's let it all hang loose
type of hang.
If I knew that, I wouldn't have dipped so quickly.
If I go out, everything is on the table. There's no limits.
I would you, Nick.
Good to know. All right. Good to know.
Multiple places, long length of time. We're open for business. All right. I'm out.
Okay.
I can't wait for my first time with you guys.
Let's arrange
incredible.
Something. Let's no, arrange something.
No,
let's go.
You're being removed.
No, let's go.
It's going to be JJ, me, Verlade, and Simone.
And my girlfriend.
And your girlfriend. And you can go to Rayleigh's. You can text us.
She enjoys shopping too. All right, I'm not the only one.
You can text us your trip from Rayleigh's.
Something we share.
By the way, okay. LeBron James is going to try to break Kareem's record tonight.